The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Justice Department has reversed its position on defending Donald Trump in a lawsuit brought by writer E. Jean Carroll, paving the way for a possible trial in January. The department said in a court filing on Tuesday, 11th of July, that it could no longer conclude that Donald Trump was acting in his capacity as President of the United States when he made alleged defamatory statements about E. Jean Carroll in 2019. The former Elle magazine columnist, E. Jean Carroll, alleges that she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump in a New York department store in 1996, a claim that he dismissed as a complete con job. E. Jean Carroll, 79 years old, has already won a second case against Donald Trump's new comments he made after he left the White House. In May, a New York jury found that Donald Trump was liable for sexual abuse and defamation and ordered him to pay her $5 million in damages. Donald Trump has sought to delay the first defamation lawsuit by claiming that he should be granted immunity because he made the comments while speaking to the media as president. At first, the Justice Department, under Donald Trump and Joe Biden, agreed with that view. But in the filing on Tuesday, 11th of July, U.S. lawyers cited the jury's verdict, Donald Trump's October deposition, and new claims. Carroll has since made that Donald Trump defamed her again with comments he made during a CNN town hall a day after the verdict. They said the new evidence suggested that Donald Trump was motivated by a personal grievance stemming from events that occurred many years prior to Donald Trump's presidency, the New York Times reported. Tuesday's reversal leaves Donald Trump, a 77-year-old, legally exposed to further damages and forced to rely on his own legal team rather than one from the government. Roberta Kaplan, a lawyer for E. Jean Carroll, welcomed the decision. Stephen Chung, a spokesperson for Donald Trump, said the step showed that the Justice Department under Joe Biden was politically weaponizing the justice system against Donald Trump. He dismissed the department's move as a partisan sham. E. Jean Carroll is seeking $10 million in damages in the first lawsuit. A 15 January 2024 trial is scheduled before the U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan, who handled the earlier trial. He is not related to the lawyer Roberta Kaplan. Earlier on Tuesday, 11th of July, E. Jean Carroll asked the judge in Manhattan to dismiss a counter-lawsuit by Donald Trump that asserts she defamed him by repeating her claim that he raped her. E. Jean Carroll's lawyers described Trump's counter-lawsuit as his latest effort to spin his trial loss by claiming that she caused him significant harm by implying in a post-trial interview that the assault was also a rape. Lawyers for E. Jean Carroll have accused Donald Trump of springing his counterclaim too late to hold up yet again this otherwise trial-ready, much-delayed case. Donald Trump is again seeking the White House and is the clear front-runner in the Republicans' primary field.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands. that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movies with religious themes. One of that movies with a religious theme, very strong one, was Fatima, produced in 2020, directed by Marco Pontecorvo, that we try to criticize from the last episode onwards with Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, grateful to be here, Brother Jawad.
It's a pleasure to have you as well as Sayyid Abdullah. Greetings, Sayyid Abdullah.
Greetings to you too, my friend.
Thank you very much. Well, let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, and then we'll be back with this criticism.
She's always had a bright imagination, but she seems to have gone too far. And I've already told you, it is a sin to tell lies. It goes against God. Now tell the truth and ask for forgiveness.
It is no lie. We saw her, and she told us to come back to see her again.
When is this going to end? I'm sorry.
Why don't we agree for now and accept that what you are saying is the truth? How can you be so sure that the lady you saw was the Virgin Mary?
I just do.
You know, Lucia, someone may have wanted to play a trick on you. Or worse, it could have been the devil. Sometimes the devil likes to tempt young souls like yours. He often disguises himself, at times even through reassuring shapes, as a way to hide his evil.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers. We tried, well, to listen to this part of the movie, Fatima, and let me ask a question which is relevant to this part. With you, Brother Yasser, let me start this episode. When her mother, along with his father and the priest, of course, don't believe her vision, the vision of that Lucia, the oldest of the children, actually saw on that day, and later on, of course, the vision gets repeated of Virgin Mary, that vision. The father suggests that she might be deceived by a devil. Can the devil take the shape or form of an angel or a holy figure, Brother Yasser, to trick or to tempt people?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, for example, what these children actually saw may not have been either of the blessed ladies. It may have been another figure, another, whatever it may be, another being. But they took it to be. And it's amazing that, I remember I was speaking to a teacher about this once, that in the Islam, for us, this is something that I'll mention quickly, in the Islamic tradition, in order to prove the purity of Zahra salamu alayha, we use the ayats that involve the Bibi Maryam salamu alayha in the glorious Quran. But here again, these children saw what they thought was Bibi Maryam salamu alayha, but they named the Sati Fatima.
Yes.
So there's, you know, it's just a go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure moment.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, to the question you asked, of course, if you remember, we spoke about this in one of our previous episodes. First of all, the devil or the Iblis cannot take the form of a blessed individual.
Or an angel.
Oh, and it is blessed.
Right?
Angel's another story altogether. Whether they have a form or not, it's something completely different. But anything that is blessed, for example, of an imam, of a saint, or a sage. But the problem is this. For example, this is the, I mentioned this in the previous time as well. The hadith says, if a person sees me, the holy prophet, if a person sees me in his dream, he has saw me.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is this, I have never seen the holy prophet before exactly. in my life. Right. How do I know what he looks like?
Mm-hmm.
No, have you, no has.
Yeah.
Maybe say it has, I don't know. But we have not seen the holy prophet. We have not seen Imam Ali alayhi salam. We have not seen Imam Ridha alayhi salam. We have not seen Isa alayhi salam. We have not seen Musa alayhi salam in the flesh. We have kind of images of what they may have looked like. So if the devil comes in an image and in that particular image claims that he is a particular individual,
mm-hmm.
it's possible for him to do that.
Yes.
Why? Because we do not...
he's a deceiver.
Yes, he's a deceiver and we do not know how the prophet looks like.
Right.
We do not know how that particular sage, mm-hmm. unless we've saw the sage, like for example, it's again a very hypothetical example. For example, the devil or a demon comes in a dream or... Also understand that these mukashifats or these unveilings are not dream states.
Mm-hmm.
They are real. This we have it in mysticism and Gnosticism.
Yes.
These are real states. The person is awake and seeing this. And what is beautiful about the movie is that the three girls saw and others didn't. And the two girls heard and the boy didn't.
Yeah.
This itself, we have this in Islamic tradition, but it's a whole pass mm-hmm. on Islamic mysticism and stuff. We don't want to get into it.
Yes.
It's very beautiful though.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance where... if, for example, the devil came in the form of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, I will know Imam Khomeini, and I will know that this is not Imam Khomeini because I've seen Imam Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pictures, I've seen him on TV and so on and so forth. You have, and so on and so forth. But maybe, you know, 50 years down the line, when the image of Imam Khomeini is not there, or to a person who hasn't seen him, the devil comes and claims to be Imam Khomeini, yes, it's possible for him to do that, to deceive that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't seen who the prophet looked like. Oh,
so is there any way of verification of such stories or events?
First of all, it's very difficult. It's one of those aspects of faith.
Can we say like from what they say, for example, if it is positive, then it should be something
the
good.
The results of that thing, yes, you can say from the results that occurred to you. But uh-huh. again, that also, has to be, we have to be very careful.
Uh-huh.
As you rightly said, the devil is a deceiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see in other places where, for example, when the devil wants to trick somebody, there will be a time where results will be positive. Why? To gain trust. Mm-hmm. What happens? You gain in trust of that person.
They say the devil is in the details.
Exactly. Very detailed.
Yeah.
And we have said that the devil knows you better than you know yourself. This is not a joke.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
The devil knows you better than you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he will go to those places where he knows he can catch you. That's mm-hmm. his job, in inverted commas. It's his job, right?
Exactly.
So he's going to deceive you any way possible. First of all, just to gain your trust. In religion, we have a fight against this. In religious texts,
mm-hmm.
the basic and most simple one is what? Is that in your acts of worship, in your ibadat, what do? You are told to ignore all of your doubts.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It gives you that thing to stop
those
what's called whispers
mm-hmm.
to come in. Any doubt you have in salah, in fasting, in everything, if you have a doubt, ignore it immediately.
Ignore the temptation.
Why? Because it creates this, what you call, a barrier between you and the deceiving shaitan and the whispers that he gives you.
I see. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Thank you. Let's take a break by listening to a part of the movie Fatima, produced in 2020. Then we'll be back with his criticism. Don't go away.
Diogo is here with his mother. He can't walk.
He will heal if he starts believing.
Mother, thank you. She says God will heal Diogo. He will heal if he starts believing.
What does that mean? My son is already a believer. He will be healed, but when?
Wait, believe.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie Fatima, directed by Marco Pantecorvo, producing 2020 with Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, the three children go there again to see Virgin Mary, allegedly, along with some people, and it happened again. All right? Although the people didn't see it, but the kids saw the lady again.
Mm-hmm.
She promised to heal a boy that couldn't walk. In fact, people went there for such miracles, right? So miracles play a very important role in the way people come to believe faith. Is miracle a good enough reason to believe such events?
Well, first, we have to define a miracle from a karama. There are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
A miracle is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends prophets with something that they do that's unnatural, beyond the natural realm.
Yes.
That to prove their message to people. Like bringing the dead, cutting the sea in half, splitting the moon in half, things that no one can do. And karama, like when a person is sick, you pray, or someone who is good enough, he can touch you and he can, you know, give you your health back. So this is karama. So sometimes people, we, through the form of prayer, through the form of having good people, religious people, mystical people, we seek their intervention in trying to give us that cure. So sometimes that works for us, you know what I mean? So with the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam, for example, the karamat they perform, which sometimes we mistakenly call them miracles,
mm-hmm.
but the karamat that they perform actually enforces our faith in them, enforces our beliefs in them. A person comes to the imam and he's sick and he just looks at the dariha and then he, like within seconds or minutes, he gets cured. Well, obviously that not only enforces his faith, but enforces the faith of other people as well. So the same thing in the story with this lady, whether this is the Virgin Mary or this lady Fatima salamullah alayha, is the fact that sometimes when they do such action, it does enforce the belief of people in them or in their faith as well. So it does work.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a short break and we'll listen to a part of the movie Fatima, produced in 2020. Then we'll be back with this criticism. Don't go away.
My rivals will use this tale to attack me. I won't risk my position, my ideas, everything I've built from scratch for the inventions of three little children and some stupid superstition.
Some stupid superstitions.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program. We are trying to criticize the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, directed by Marco Pontecorvo, with Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, all along this movie Fatima, we see that the mayor is acting like an atheist, all right? He's talking to his wife and calls religion altogether and all the miracles which are performed in the movie as superstition. Why? Is there any border between religion or any kind of cult and superstition? How can we tell?
The line between the two is very thin, because you will have individuals who can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. Throughout history, you've
seen. And the yogis in India do that probably.
They do some crazy things.
Yes.
They do some crazy things. Even the Quran speaks about the magicians.
Magicians, at the time of Musa. Exactly.
This or not, this or, you know, you have people, even today, for example, who can do, what's that? They'll do certain things.
Yes, exactly.
They can manipulate the physical world. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. If a person can find how the physical world works,
yes,
they can manipulate it. There's no doubt about it. But the point is, okay, what is the message behind the miracle? What is the message behind that particular mess? The person who's, because obviously a cult or message will have a leader. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? There must be a particular leader. Who is he? Like, one of the proofs for the religion or for any religion is, who is the leader? What does he want? Does he want any physical? Does he want, political position? Does he want wealth? Does he want, you know, this? Does he want that? Oh, no, he doesn't want anything but your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And does he, you know, what is the message behind it? You know, besides that, the one of the things that in Islamic, in any tradition, basically, you have what difference. So here we say religion and cult, or truth and falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's your intellect. Your intellect is something that you have been given in order for you to decipher what is good and what is bad. A human being has that ability to do so. It is something that on the day of judgment will be one of the first things that the person will be asked for. You had intellect. Why did you not use your intellect? And just to end the program, the intellect is in the hadith of Imam Kadhim, it's a very famous hadith. He said it is a hujjah against you. It is a proof against you.
Mm-hmm.
It is something for you to decipher haq and batil, truth and falsehood. Yes. A religion, a true religion from a false religion. It is your intellect. And hopefully, unfortunately, you know, the intellect of man has kind of descended to its lowest of levels, but it's still there. It still has the ability to kind of, you know, activate itself and find the truth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser, and Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, directed by Marco Pontecorvo. Of course, we haven't finished to criticize the whole movie, and inshallah, and hopefully, we'll do that in the next upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello to everyone. Let us recite to you a widely recorded saying of the Prophet concerning his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, whose spotless purity has been vouchsafed by God Almighty in Ayah 33 of Surah Ahzab in the Holy Quran. The stars are a security for the people of the earth against drowning when at sea, while my Ahlul Bayt are a security to the people of earth against discord.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
A true believer never loses hope in God.
Part 3.
Aitarun is a village located in the southern Jabal Amir, a village with kind and hospitable people. Aitarun has suffered many hardships at the hand of Israel and has lost many of its people in the fight for freedom. Fortunately, two courses for memorizing the Quran were held in Aitarun. During the first course, 11 people memorized the whole of the Quran. What's beautiful is that these courses started during the war. We stayed here during the 21-day war to finish teaching the Quran. And I remember that at that time, Heba and I had a tight schedule. While she was memorizing the Quran, she also taught several children how to read it. She used to give me a call and I would tell her what to do and not to do.
After freedom was achieved in 2000, the spirit of the Quran and resistance spread in this area. A center for memorizing the Quran was launched here, and memorizing some parts of the Quran, including the last 30th part. I always wanted to sign up for these classes and learn the principles of tajweed, or correct pronunciation of the Quran. When the center set the whole classes for memorizing the Quran, they started with memorizing the last 30th part of the book and taking part in Alman TV programs. Before I memorized the Quran, I didn't wear these clothes and I didn't have religious beliefs. My attitude started to change when I began to memorize the Quran. I completed it by wearing Islamic dresses and it affected my behavior in society. When you wear Islamic clothes, your behavior is bound to change because these are the clothes that God has recommended. These clothes have a specific set of principles that affect one's behavior and life. When a woman starts to wear these clothes, she should be committed to them and change some of her behaviors in order to show her respect for these clothes. All the blessed things that happened in my life started to happen when I took up the courses to memorize the Quran. And I owe all of that to the female teacher who taught me, Miss Abir Sajid. I love her even before I started the courses because she was a devout believer and treated people with respect and friendliness. But we didn't have a strong friendship. After I started the courses, I saw her every day and got to know her better as she taught us.
I hope that it was the Quran's influence. Before learning the Quran, you just read it. But when you start learning about its recitation and interpretation, they give your heart and mind a pause and start to change your point of view. They will have an influence for sure. The Quran leads you towards happiness. But how can human beings achieve this happiness? What level can they reach? Because as you know, the Quran has many levels.
At first, it was just a childish encouragement or a natural love for the Quran for me. I was encouraged to learn the Quran, but when I started to memorize and thought about the meaning of its verses and understood them, my relationship to the Quran grew strong.
I'm proud of the life I've been leading, but if I'm asked in the afterlife what I'm proud of most, I'll answer Heba. God greatly favored her and me, and it's an honor for me that the Quran affected her life and I could make that happen. We heard on a small radio that a temporary ceasefire had been achieved. It was almost 2 a.m. when they attacked us. When morning came, everyone was crying because of the greatness of God. We were surprised to see that none of us were injured, not even a slight scratch. We had agreed to stay to put our trust in God and to see what fate would hold in store for us. We stayed here and thankfully the Quran kept us company. الحمد لله كان القرآن أنيسنا بهذا المجال.
Aitarun is a village located in the southern Jabal Amir, a village with kind and hospitable people. Aitarun has suffered many hardships at the hand of Israel and has lost many of its people in the fight for freedom. Fortunately, two courses for memorizing the Quran were held in Aitarun. During the first course, 11 people memorized the whole of the Quran. What's beautiful is that these courses started during the war. We stayed here during the 21-day war to finish teaching the Quran. And I remember that at that time, Heba and I had a tight schedule. While she was memorizing the Quran, she also taught several children how to read it. She used to give me a call and I would tell her what to do and not to do.
Don't they teach media studies at your university?
No, we are taught literature, business, and English at the university.
Look, Zainab, if you choose this field of study, you shouldn't just study to get your degree. You should set a goal for yourself to serve your society. Before I memorized the Quran, I didn't wear these clothes, and I didn't have religious beliefs. My attitude started to change when I began to memorize the Quran. I completed it by wearing Islamic dresses, and it affected my behavior in society. When you wear Islamic clothes, your behavior is bound to change, because these are the clothes that God has recommended. These clothes have a specific set of principles that affect one's behavior and life. When a woman starts to wear these clothes, she should be committed to them and change some of her behaviors in order to show her respect for these clothes. You're making a movie about memorizing the Quran. Are you done with your exams?
No, they'll be over on Thursday.
In the beginning, when I wore Islamic dresses outside, some people treated me with hatred. But they gradually came to accept it and even changed their minds about my clothes.
When Heba came to my classes to learn the Quran, she was young and her hijab was of the imitative kind. A long dress was the hijab of most of the children I taught at that time. During the first year, Heba used to say she would never wear a long dress. It was a year or a year and a half after the start of our lessons. You know, we would discuss the interpretations of some issues and talk about their good and bad points. After a while, Heba started to change, turning into a different person.
After freedom was achieved in 2000, the spirit of the Quran and resistance spread in this area. A center for memorizing the Quran was launched here, and memorizing some parts of the Quran, including the last 30th part. I always wanted to sign up for these classes and learn the principles of tajweed, or correct pronunciation of the Quran. When the center started to hold classes for memorizing the Quran, they started with memorizing the last 30th part of the book and taking part in Alman TV programs. But the courses continued later on. There were five of us who memorized the whole Quran.
Five sisters.
At first, it was just a childish encouragement or a natural love for the Quran for me. I was encouraged to learn the Quran, but when I started to memorize and thought about the meaning of its verses and understood them, my relationship to the Quran grew strong.
You started memorizing the Quran under Sheikh Hussein Suleiman, didn't you?
Yes, he was my first tutor.
Hanan School, right? He was the first one to teach you. After that, you took up the courses for memorizing the Quran.
The Quran is the most beautiful thing that has happened to me. It has changed my life, and I think a very important and great thing has entered my life. I don't know how it happened, but I know that God has given it to me. During the courses, the 1 hour we spent memorizing the Quran in the mosque was the best part of my day. I could feel a sense of spirituality there that I found nowhere else. All the blessed things that happened in my life started to happen when I took up the courses to memorize the Quran. And I owe all of that to the female teacher who taught me, Miss Abir Sajid. I love her even before I started the courses because she was a devout believer and treated people with respect and friendliness. But we didn't have a strong friendship. After I started the courses, I saw her every day and got to know her better as she taught us.
An Ethiopian general called Abraha wanted to construct a building to rival the Kaaba so that people had to go to him to perform the Hajj. He was really upset at the fact that there was a building in Mecca in which people performed the Hajj.
I started to memorize the Quran under Miss Abir's guidance.
You were done at the seminary at that time?
No, she still went there.
And you used to visit her?
I haven't seen Miss Abir for a long time.
Very long.
I haven't seen her for a year. Because the courses for memorizing the Quran were very long, it required a strong will. Someone who wants to walk this path needs another person to guide and accompany them. Miss Abir influenced my life and the lives of those who memorize the Quran with me to a great extent. I can feel her influence in my life.
I'm proud of the life I've been leading, but if I'm asked in the afterlife what I'm proud of most, I'll answer Heba. God greatly favored her and me, and it's an honor for me that the Quran affected her life and I could make that happen. I hope that it was the Quran's influence. Before learning the Quran, you just read it. But when you start learning about its recitation and interpretation, they give your heart and mind a pause and start to change your point of view. They will have an influence for sure. The Quran leads you towards happiness. But how can human beings achieve this happiness? What level can they reach? Because as you know, the Quran has many levels. In some hadiths, the paths human beings should choose are mentioned. It is mentioned who will assist them to reach those levels. It depends on the people themselves and those who guide them. The Quran is about the truth. The happiness of this life and the next lies in the Quran, and this book contains God's words and revelations. I'd like to fulfill the task I'm entrusted with. I'd like to perform my duty. I don't think about what happens later or the result of it. The result lies in the hands of God, and I'm just doing what I believe is my responsibility towards my family, nation, and beliefs. I'm not saying I don't have dreams, I do, but perhaps I can't express my dreams in the worldly sense of the word.
Thank you.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about rules of life in Islam. So be with us. Assalamu alaikum. Today, Friday, 25th of Zilhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to chapter Al-Isra, verse 53 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُوا الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًّا مُبِينًا
And tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, Satan induces dissension among them. Indeed, Satan is ever, to mankind, a clear enemy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Sometimes the believers who had recently accepted the faith, following their previous ancient habits, used to provoke aggression against those who opposed them. Moreover, these humiliating expressions of the dissidents towards the Prophet, such as sorcerer, insane, soothsayer, poet, and etc., sometimes cause the believers to lose control and raise up against the opponents in a verbal attack. The Quran seeks to hinder them from such things, persuading them to call with leniency and selection of softest words, so as to prevent Satan from inciting corruption.
Have come from one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day shed the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
What we can learn today about rules of life in Islam. Islam conducts a Muslim's life in all its aspects. That's why it is not only a religion, but also a way of life. It surely states that righteous conduct must be followed by belief in Allah. The Quran in chapter 41, verse 8 says, "For those who believe and work deeds of righteousness is a reward that will never fail." Allah teaches us about doing justice in all aspects of life, whether it's business or any other things. We should be careful while doing trading, buying and selling in our daily life so that we are not doing unjust with anyone.
The second factor that leads to tawfiq is the avoidance of sins and thinking of sins. Sins, we know they're bad. We shouldn't do them. But thinking of sins is something that we take lightly. You know why it's inappropriate, offensive to God when we think of sins? Yes, most of the sins that you think about, Allah will not hold you responsible. But thinking about sins reduces your tawfiq. I'll give you an example. Imagine if you have a friend. Your friend is really gentle, very good with you. Your friend does not violate you, does not steal from you, does not do anything harmful against you. But you know that your friend is constantly thinking about stealing from you. How would you feel? Honestly, if you have a friend, you know day and night he's thinking of stealing from you. He hasn't done it. Maybe he'll never do it. But he's thinking of doing it. Do you see your friend in the same light? Do you have the same respect for him? No. He'll change in your eyes. Why? He didn't do anything wrong yet. It's like, yeah, but he's thinking of stealing from me. He's thinking of harming me. He's thinking of ruining my reputation. You see them differently. A true believer trains himself not to even think of committing sins. Is that possible? Sure, it's possible. There are people who achieve that state. It just requires simple exercises for you to work on your nafs to even avoid thinking of sins. One very effective exercise is the following. Draw a red line in your mind, a strong mental red line around every sin. Psychologically, it's been proven when you draw a red line around something, usually you don't cross these red lines. Usually you stick to your red lines. For many believers, there are sins they never think of committing. Like drinking, right? For most of you, for you believers, not only do you not drink, you don't even think of drinking. You don't think of drinking. Why? Why don't you think of drinking? Because mentally, you've drawn a well-defined red line around that sin. I'll never drink no matter what. If the world goes upside down, I'm not touching that thing. Right? That's your attitude, you as a believer. The reason why you commit sins is because that red line is not there.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain.
Let's learn from the lifestyle of the Prophet about the roles of success. Seek peace. The power of peace is by far stronger and more effective than the turbulence of violence. One of the most important lessons one can derive from the Prophet's character is that he always wanted a peaceful environment because he believed that the power of peace enhances efforts to bring Allah in people's lives and is stronger and more lasting than the havoc and turbulence of violence. When he designed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he effectively started a new era of peace for the Muslims. The treaty allowed the Muslims to intermingle with the rest of the pagan idolaters of Mecca in peace instead of being looked upon by the Meccan idolaters as a threat. It is reported that the number of those who accepted Islam was 10 times the number of the Muslims then that came to fold in over 19 years. After conquering Mecca, he and the Muslims became the rulers of many of the same people who tortured them, killed their family members and companions, and confiscated their properties. These people were undeniably war criminals who expected to be put to death immediately. Yet the Prophet did not utter one word of blame. He said, "Go, you are all set free."
I only knew love.
When I knew love of thee, I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see my heart's inner secrets, but thou I don't see.
Relying on Allah in our daily lives, reflection on this universe. Reflection is such a light in the heart that good and evil, harm and benefit, and beauty and ugliness can be discerned and distinguished from each other through it. Again, it is through reflection that the universe becomes a book to study, and the verses of the Quran disclose their meaning and secrets more deeply. The quality of our thought is a very serious and important subject for any Muslim to consider. The more we reflect on the grand design of the universe, the more we are reminded of the designer.
The heart is the sanctuary of Allah. It's the sanctified place of Allah. Make sure nothing settles in your heart besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the haram of Allah. Allah has given every human being a haram. Oftentimes we know many things. I know Allah exists. I know my religion is correct. I know many things. However, is there real yaqeen in my heart? Have I really felt the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You need to feel the existence of God. You need to open your heart, because if there is other things in your heart, you will not feel the true existence of Allah. You know why? Because Allah says, "Ana khayru shariq." I am the best partner. If you give me 99% and you give 1% to something else, I give it all to that partner. Either it's 100% to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or there's nothing for Allah. This is the nature of the heart. So make sure you remove everything. Remove it from the heart, and you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will settle in your heart. Al-qarb, al-qalbu haramullah, fala tuskin haramullah ghayrullah. The heart is the sanctuary of Allah. It's the sanctified place of Allah. Make sure nothing settles in your heart besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the haram of Allah. Allah has given every human being a haram. You know, one day Allah was having a conversation with Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Prophet Dawood asked Allah, "Oh Allah, what is your treasure?" Because every king has a treasure. Some kings, they're, you know, obsessed with their money, with their gold and silver. Some kings are obsessed with their palaces. Some kings are obsessed with horses and horse race, right? We see that in some parts of the world. "Oh Allah, what's your treasure?" You know what Allah says? قَلْبُ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Allah tells him, "My treasure is something which is bigger than the universe. وَسَعَنِي لَمْ تَسَعَنِي أَرْضِي وَلَا سَمَائِي وَلَكِنْ وَسَعَنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ." The heart of my believer is my sanctuary. That's my treasure. This is what I love, the heart of a believer. So you have to remove everything from your heart.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today. And inshallah, of course, we meet you soon in another episode of today's special. So we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي
علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.